Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. Mark 15. Have a seat. From verse 18. We're looking at the church, the local church, and me. Right? The church, the local church, and me. Okay. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. So we say Jesus' instruction is that we go make disciples. Make disciples. That word to make disciples, we said, is the word matitio, right? It means to the process of raising a pupil in a citadel of learning to becoming a scholar, right? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Jesus gave that instruction that what the disciples should be raised. And remember, we said when you hear the word disciples, matitio, we said, underneath we have what a discipline, right? And we said, you know, there's something specific that should be taught. Glory to God. Something specific, discipline specific. Hallelujah. So we said, what is the discipline?
You know, discipleship was number one. We said underneath or under throne would be what a gathering, right? You remember that word when Jesus said, I'll build my church. Remember, we said the word church is a called out ones, right? Ecclesia, to call, be calling out of people for a specific, to discuss concerning a specific matter. Hallelujah. So when he now says make disciples, it will be discipline specific. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One who is learning medicine, in the course of studying medicine, we said he will not go and learn accounting. He has a discipline he or she is faced with or is focused on, right? So the same way, so when you hear the word disciple, the next question will be disciples of what? Now that disciples of what, you know, will now, in it you will now have the discipline. Are you following me? Disciples of what? Disciples of whom? Do you understand me? Of what? Of whom? Where you say, I'm a student. Question of the word, student of what? Right? Hallelujah. Student of pharmacology, student of, you know, student of, do you understand me? Student of Ambrose at Leeds University studying this. Do you understand me? Say to be specific. So, question would now be disciples of whom? Of what? So, in it, you now have disciples. Now, disciple of what? The question would now be disciple of what? Which we said, you look at the events that has taken place concerning his resurrection. The disciples of his resurrection. The disciples of Christ. I believe that. Disciples of Christ, disciples of his resurrection. So that means that what I will be taught will be concerning Christ, concerning the resurrection. Are you following that? Glory to God. So the church is not a multi-purpose hall. The church is not a multi-purpose place where you come to learn multiple things. How to get rich fast, rich that, poor that. You don't learn that in the church. Are you hearing me? You don't learn that in the church. You don't learn for 8 months of power in the church. You don't learn how to be a good businessman in the church. You don't learn how to make money in the church. No. The church is where we learn Christ. So, as believers, we are learners of Christ. Are you following me? We are learners of Christ. We are learners of His resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following that? So, we are learners of His resurrection. So, you know, so if it is discipline specific, if it is with the discipline specific, then it means that the curriculum will be known. You understand? The curriculum will be known. What is the curriculum? Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe.
whatsoever I have commanded you.
Did you see that? Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He
said, teaching them to observe. So that would be the curriculum, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. And we say that in from Luke 24, from verse 44,
he says, Luke 24, let's open that. I want us to do a whole lot of opening today.
Luke 24, from verse 44. The teaching is the teaching section, so we'll look at scriptures together. Luke 24 from verse 44. He said, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you.
See, all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me.
Take note of that. Concerning me. See, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So we said what Jesus taught pre-resurrection, which is before he died, and
at the resurrection will be the same thing. Hallelujah. It will be the same thing. So Jesus' message didn't change. Are you with me? His message didn't change. So therefore, our message will not change.
Our message will still be the same. Glory to God. Are you following that? Glory to God. So any explanation of scripture outside Christ
and his resurrection, what he has accomplished in the resurrection. Remember when you said, and what he has accomplished in his resurrection. Remember we said the resurrection authenticates his incarnation and his suffering, right? Right? If he hasn't resurrected, his incarnation and his suffering would have amounted to nothing. That doesn't mean the suffering of an ordinary God. Amen. Do you understand me?
So, but his resurrection authenticates that. So that means any teaching outside from the scripture, remember the scripture of Genesis to Malachi, right? So any teaching outside the explanation, any teaching of the scriptures outside Christ's explanation will be tagged false teaching, will be tagged doctrine of men, doctrine of demons. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. I hope you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you must get that. And that is the reason why he will tell his disciples in Matthew
documented that he told them, beware of the leading of the Pharisees. General, beware of the leading of the Pharisees. And when he said that to them, in that same chapter, verse 12, he then tells them, beware of their doctrine, their teaching. Because their conclusion, they don't arrive at what Christ's conclusion. They don't arrive, or their conclusion it does not arrive in Christ's work. Hallelujah.
John chapter 5, verse 39. John 5, 39. John 5, 39. I want us to see this together. John 5, 39. Are you there? Let's read together.
Want to go? Some of us are not there then. Okay, let's go together. John 5, 39. Let's read together. Want to go?
Hallelujah. Let's read into verse 4. Let's go. Want to go? No, start from 39 again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, right here, he was speaking to the Pharisees. Hallelujah, the Jews.
So he said, you search the scriptures. That's how the original quote said, you search the scriptures. That's the word that they look at it critically. Hallelujah. Like the way an author will look at an audit file. He said, you search the scriptures. They commanded the father to search the scriptures, but he said, the scriptures testify of me. But now, what would be the scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. I want you to have what we just read now in your heart, which is Luke 24:44. So these are the words that spoke to one of them, which is that all things are written in the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets concerning me, right? In verse 25, he said, no fool sloth had to believe in all the scriptures. They say, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That was at the resurrection. He explained scriptures to them, right? Now look at what he said there. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Right? But he said, these are they. Which are they? The scriptures. He said, the scriptures testify of me. So what would be the scriptures as at them when Jesus was speaking? Genesis to Malachi. Are you believing that that would be the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament section of the Bible? Right? Okay, glory to God. Now, Jesus said they testify of him. So what would they testify concerning him? His death, his burial, and his resurrection, right? So resurrection, major fact. Now, he says, but where is their issue? It will be verse 40. He says, you will not come to the conclusion of the scriptures concerning me. Say, these are they which testify of me. But you will not what? You are not willing to come to me. Meaning their conclusion was not concerning Christ. And not that you warned his disciples concerning the Pharisees. Are you following that? Look at verse 45. Verse 45. Let's read together. One, two, go. Are we there or we are not there? Let's read together. One, two, go.
There is one that accuses you. People know what is in the name of God.
Verse 6. Hallelujah.
Say, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. 47. For if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So, meaning Moses' writings was concerning who?
Jesus.
I want you to understand that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, do you not see why in scriptures or in the church, what should be taught to be Christ? Because if I get to the scripture, what I'm saying is how to become rich fast. That means I'm not coming to the conclusion of who. Do you understand?
Hallelujah. Are you following that? So, in discipleship, in the church, in discipleship, we say, what should be taught will be Christ. Hallelujah. So, if I get to scriptures and I'm explaining something other than Christ, what he has accomplished in the resurrection from scriptures, then I'm doing taboo. I am actually teaching a false doctrine. Are you following that? I'm actually teaching a false doctrine. Glory to God. Are you hearing that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So if what he taught and what the church should teach, or what we should be taught in discipleship, remember discipleship will carry out primarily in the local church. So if what we should be taught is concerning Christ, that is the resurrection, can we say what should be taught is concerning the church? Yes. Why? Because the church will come from the resurrection. Right? Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what should be taught would not be sowing and reaping. Which is, we know what it means by sowing and reaping. You have to understand. You see, sowing and reaping is not wrong. But in the right context, which we explain this here, right? Sowing and reaping. But
in terms of sowing money to reap wealth. You know, you can't teach that in the local church. Are you hearing that? Dropping down money to gain power.
You are not the member of Simon the Sorcerer. I see another conversation with a brother who years back. He's to be one of our wonderful brothers that we converted from. First of all, he used to be the one that is always like, why are you jellycoing your hair? If you know what I mean, you should know where that person is from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Holiness and righteousness, that was from our seagull. So usually, it was on us. Then, we started teaching him scriptures. Like that. For instance, I saw him after years, so many years. No, we sit up on him once in a while. But I saw him, that was last week, after meeting, last week. And that Saturday, no, that was last Friday, before Saturday meeting. So we had a conversation up to this point. You know, up to this point of sowing and.
So, he was going, don't think when you sow, you should receive wealth. You need wealth. You should go
to business school and learn business. So like how? You know? He learned by himself, for himself, with himself.
Now talk.
We're not going to act.
Guys, this is where we are. Let's be there. Let's not teach anything. Let's just teach act. And then we'll stay there and we'll look at from Act 1 down to chapter
10. No, just going from chapter 1 down. And then he was able to see that,
Act of Apostles, the apostles, they were against such practice. We didn't have to go to Corinth or whatever, but you know, like Pastor Shepard would say, we will be teaching, we'll be explaining Act, but we'll have the epistle in our mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The epistle is there, but we're not talking epistle, but we'll just be talking, you know, just be teaching that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he was able to see, you know, like, wow.
Do you have a message on it? They say yes. So sent him the link to go and listen to our messages on that concerning such such practices. You know, those
things that they taught was right. Amen. Glory to God.
So let's continue. Let's come back. So what should we taught should be concerning Christ and his resurrection? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and we said his resurrection will be concerning the church. So we can say the church should be what, or we should teach the church the reality of the church in discipleship, right? Because the church will come from the resurrection. Hallelujah. So, and we said the church will be the person of Christ in the resurrection, our identification with him in the resurrection, right? Right? And which we said the church of Christ has been
built by Christ. We spend time to look at those attributes. We said the church is sanctified, is holy, is last for not praying for any such thing. Hallelujah. It's not where the church will be in future, no, it's what we are now. You understand? This is who we are now. Hallelujah. The church is spiritual. The church is born of the Spirit. The church has received the forgiveness of sins. The church is not looking for forgiveness. The church does not have sin problems. The church has received the forgiveness of sins. Are you following that?
Amen. Amen. So let's just move ahead from here. So we said that identification with the person of Christ, or in the person of Christ, not with, in the person of Christ. Having been identified with him, he now puts us in the gathering.
Iron.
So there is now a gathering where we are kept. An assembly of believers. where we are kept to be taught the word. Where we are kept to be taught the word.
I was told that in Matthew 28 verse 10, he instructed them to gather. I heard me. He instructed them to gather. Said they should tarry in Jerusalem.
If I didn't ask one, say you should, I mean,
no.
I take back that. We'll look at that later. Let me not jump there.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he instructed that gathering. Rather than, I was quoting after, instead of Luke 24, let's look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Amen. Luke 24. Verse 49. Say, behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye.
He was speaking to them together. He said, but tarry ye in Jerusalem. See, you can do the power from on high. Hallelujah. But tarry ye. So, you see, the gathering is an instruction.
Hallelujah. It's an instruction. So, we receive an instruction to gather. Hallelujah. And we said that our gathering, being an instruction from scriptures, is for us to get better.
It's also get better. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 17. It's for us to get better.
1 Corinthians 11 verse 17. We'll come together for the better. And that better will be in our conduct, right? Right? We don't get better in our spirit, no.
We get better in our conduct. It is in our conduct that we are called babes. It's not we are born again babes. Tell us that we are not born again babes, like your spirit is a baby, you have a baby spirit. No. I hear it. Glory to God. No. We're born again
spiritual. Amen. So therefore, we could say the call to salvation is the call to discipleship. The call to salvation is the call to discipleship. I said that because of what I want to say now. Because the gathering is the undertone for what? Discipleship.
Hallelujah. The gathering will be an undertone for discipleship. So we can say, and remember, when we gather is to get better, right? In conduct. So therefore, we can now say the call to salvation is the call to discipleship. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The call to discipleship.
And in discipleship, we are taught. Matthew 28:20. Say, teaching them. We are taught. We are taught.
And last time, which is last Sunday,
we saw that the teaching, the end point of teaching is what?
Is what? Spiritual growth. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 16. Let's look over first to 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture, yeah, but all scripture will be where? Genesis to Malachi. But today we can include what? See, Revelation. The all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Okay, I'll paint that down for the second section.
Turn that up for the second section. Okay. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'll turn that up for the second section. I want to say something, but we'll leave it to the second section, then it will make better sense.
Glory to God. So can we proceed? Okay. So we said all scripture will be what, Genesis to Revelation now, right? Now, we can call it Genesis to Revelation. So it's given by the inspiration of God. It's spirit inspired. And it's profitable for doctrine, which is for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And he said it's profitable for doctrine. That's Kalila. Say for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That means the end point. Remember, he uses the word proofs. Proofs, which is in view of. Hallelujah. So teaching is in view of what? Instruction in righteousness, spiritual growth. Paideia and diakosune. Paideia is used for training, Ephesians 6 verse 4. Nurture. Used for a father and child relationship. The father is in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5. Chastening. Used for training. That word chastening is what you have in the Hebrew form. You know, the writer of Hebrew was reading from Proverbs chapter 3. So he says, that is the word mistiba. It's used for instruction, how you correct one with words. Not with him, with words. Hallelujah. With words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. With words. So, you see that the teaching of the scripture is for growth, spiritual growth. How you train, rather, not correct, how you train one with words. So, the end point of teaching the scripture is for spiritual growth. And this is the reason why Paul's prayer for believers, the one whom he is discipling, will be what? Spiritual growth. Can you see that? That's why Paul will pray for that spiritual growth. That's the reason for Paul's prayer. That's why Paul's prayer will be centered on spiritual growth. Colossians 1:9. Let's look at Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Look at what he is asking for. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That word knowledge is what epignosis. It's called, that word epignosis is used for full and accurate information. Full, precise and accurate information. Accurate information. So he says that he may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is, in all wisdom, that word and is the word kai. That's his spiritual understanding. Look at Paul's prayer for them. Look at Paul's prayer for them. Knowledge. Knowledge of his will. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Look at Philippians 1:9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in what? In knowledge and in all discernment. In knowledge and in all discernment. Paul's prayer for them is around knowledge. In knowledge and in all discernment. That you may approve the things which are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Are you following that? To the glory and praise of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Ephesians 1 from verse 16. Ephesians 1 verse 16. It says, do not cease to give thanks, making mention of it in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, that is revelation in the knowledge of him. This is a revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling? And what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? Hallelujah. Are you following that? So, Paul's prayer is concerning knowledge. In our last teaching on the act of prayer, we spoke about this, right? Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He wasn't praying for them to have more money in their bank account.
Glory to God.
Wasn't praying, he was praying for knowledge. Amen. Philemon 6. Philemon 6. Quickly. Philemon 6. I mean, Philemon 6. He says that the communication of your faith, the communication of your faith, may become effectual by the acknowledgement. Our word acknowledgement is the word epignosis.
Philemon. Philemon 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now that word acknowledging is the Greek word epignosis. Knowledge. Are you following that? Knowledge. Glory to God. Amen. 2 Peter 1 2. 2 Peter 1 2. Quickly. 2 Peter 1:2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Christ or and of our Lord Jesus. Grace and truth be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Knowledge, epignosis. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter's desire. It says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Now, when I say grow in grace and knowledge, it's not two different things. What it means is grow in grace, that is, knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Are you following that?
Knowledge.
Glory to God. So knowledge becomes important for the one who is born again. Knowledge becomes important for the man who is born again. Look at God's desire too. God's desire. 1 Timothy chapter 3. God's desire. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4. I mean, where am I going? Chapter 2 rather, verse 4. It says, I'll start from verse 3. Say, for it is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desire all men to be saved. Did you see that? And come to the knowledge of the truth. God's desire is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God's desire is for men to be saved and for men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Are you following this? Glory to God. So God's desire is for what? Is for us to come to knowledge of the truth. Knowledge. Knowledge. So we could say, having received eternal life, a man takes on a journey of knowing the word. Having received eternal life, a man begins the journey of knowing the word. Glory to God. Of knowing the word. And then knowing the word is the reason for the local church. Knowing the word is the reason for the local church. So, and that is why he said teaching them. You get that? Teaching them. So when Jesus uses the word teaching them, when he uses the word discipleship, it means that they will be gathered. So when he says teaching them, it means when they gather, they will teach. Did you get that? Glory to God. So therefore, we can say the local church, which is the gathering of believers. The gathering of believers. Now, into denominations, and I actually did in this in this series, I'm not going to talk about the denomination, how it emerged and things like that. No, no, no.
Not yet. Not now. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not going there, but we just so that they will have the locutors, the gathering of believers. Are you hearing me? Physical gathering of believers. Amen. Amen.
In different locations. That's what they had in the book of Acts.
They had, at first, they all converged in Jerusalem, right? Then later on, we now discover that they went out. Hallelujah. They dispatched out. We now have the Samaria believers. We have the Samaria believers. We have the believers in Antioch. We have the believers in Thessalonica. We have the believers in Corinth, in Ephesus. Hallelujah. So they now have different, do you understand? Different local gatherings. Local gatherings. Somewhere in the house of other people. Hallelujah. The church of Corinth started in the house of someone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is called the local gathering. The church. The local gathering.
So, how did I ever get here? Okay. So, I was about getting something.
So, when we gather, primarily, one of the primary activities would be what? Teaching them. Hallelujah. One of the primary with teaching them. Amen. So, as it were, what Jesus has made the local church to be is to be a Bible school. Are you hearing me? See, listen to me and listen to me well. First of all, I want you to understand this. The local church, first of all, is not a teaching center. I want to draw that line between a teaching center and a local church. Local church is not a teaching center. What is a teaching center?
Well, there's some people that they just gather people, teach them, and then those people go out. Do you understand me?
A teaching center is where you just gather people to teach alone. We don't have many of such again. But there are people who just gather people to just teach them, and then they allow them to go to their various, do you understand, denominations in the course of the week or the course or during the week, and then they converge them once in the week to teach. That is not the local church. Local church goes beyond a teaching center. Local church has oversight function over you. I hear me. That is one. Now, the local church is what is intended, or what we should call a Bible school. A Bible school shouldn't be where you go to learn Bible and come out to become a pastor. No. A Bible school is the local church. I hear me. Glory to God. Up until recently, so a few years back, that was when we now had having Bible school. Formerly, you understand me? In the days, in the first century, in fact, they learned reading and writing in the local church. They learned to read and to write in the local church. So, local church was a school. Are you hearing me? Was a school. Just like when you are going to Ikeja High School. You know that? When you are going to Ikeja High School or Marco Ground, you are like, I'm in Marco Ground. You know that? Glory to God. When you are enrolled into, I hope no hard feelings, Marco Ground. It's institutionally for Marco Ground. Amen. Amen. So now, enrolled or coming, belonging to a local church is like a school in the first century. You are taught to read, to write, you are taught to explain scriptures. And they now have oversight function over you. Do you understand? Oversight function over you. So the local church is that tall. Do you understand? Is that tall? That is why in Hebrews, just look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 13, sorry. Let's rush down to Hebrews 13. Quickly.
Hebrews 13. I want you to see something. Verses 17. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Say, for they watch out for your souls.
That is the responsibility of the local church. Say, they watch out for your souls. Do you understand?
They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Did you see that? So, the responsibility of the local church is not just to teach you to go. They have oversight over you. So it is thorough.
It is thorough. Your local church will know where you are part time. In fact, it is as thorough as the kind of job you pick up. It's as thorough as where you even reside.
I'm serious.
It's as thorough as that. It's as thorough as who you even get married to. So, can you not see, it goes beyond the teaching. Hallelujah. Then you watch out for your soul. Glory to God. It's all.
Glory to God. So, from tomorrow, as we begin to round up, we'll get to look at what is my role in the local church. How can I choose the local church?
So, because it is as thorough as this, that means I must not just jump up and be found somewhere. Are you hearing me? Eh? Glory to God. What is my role in the local church?
Amen.
So, can we say the local church is God's desire for every believer?
Yes.
In fact, a believer must not be found outside the local church. That's a believer. Which church you belong to? No, I am. No. I'm a blessing to the body of Christ. I'm a spiritual umpire.
No.
It shows a man who is not well thought. It shows a man who is not growing spiritually. You see, a man who is not in a local church cannot grow spiritually. It's not because we'll get to look at what spiritual growth is in the next section. Do you understand? Because, you see, a man doesn't belong to a local church. In fact, not just a man doesn't belong to a local church. Who is not even acting in a local church is irresponsible. Irresponsible. So, one, the local church is not a teaching center. The local church is not a prayer group. You know what I mean? Or it's not a prayer center. No. The local church. Do you understand me? The local church is more thorough than that. Amen. Glory to God. A local church. Another thing, a local church might start up as a teaching center, but it's not a teaching center. It can start up as a prayer group, but it's not a prayer group. It must not remain that way.
Hope you are following me. I hope you are learning something.
Hope you are learning something.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the local church is God's desire for a believer.
You know, I like the church. I like the way they all shout, but I don't like the way they teach. So, I'm not really imagining the local church. I just want to visit the body of Christ. Just go from one place to the other. Just touch around the body of Christ. You're not serious. Amen. See, okay, we'll get there. We're getting there today. Amen. But let me just chip it in.
Yeah. You cannot be a pastor and you're pastoring all over the body of Christ.
No. Are you hearing me? You cannot be a pastor all over the body and say, no, my ministry is to go around the body of Christ and to make sure that things are going well in the body of Christ. You are the Holy Ghost, sir. You are the Holy Ghost. A ministry is to go around the body of Christ.
you know, just go for one, just make sure that things are going on, are being carried out. No. In fact, another thing then is that you cannot be a pastor and not have physical people that you are responsible over. We get to see that.
Do you understand? You know, my ministry, I have a specific ministry over the internet to disciple men for Christ over the internet. Disciple men for Christ over the internet. You know, the world is going to become, there's a new normal. You know, that is what is going around now. The new normal. That there's a new normal. The new normal is that we don't need to gather together physically. So the new normal, so you know, the Lord has been preparing me for a time like this. Now we just have a global service. Everybody from the comfort of your bed, you just glory to God on your iPad, on your iPhone, and you have, oh Father, we thank you. You are relaxing, just speaking tongues wherever you are. Oh, it's like the kingdom. Oh yeah, yeah. Hey. We enter the toilet. We are doing what they do in White House. I am Maradababa. Oh, I'm live in the hotel. You know where? Amen. Glory to God.
No, no. I said no, no.
We get to see that.
So your physical, your oversight function is over people you can see. You can what? See. Not over Jonathan.
Aha.
Glory to God. So, you know, there's a reason why we are teaching this.
Believers don't begin to lose sight of the real thing.
When you begin to have such kind of rhema, you know, you can't have everybody say, I have a rhema. When you begin to have such kind of rhema, just know that it is lukewarmness that is calling on you. You understand? You should know who has called you. You understand? What you have received is a flash and not from God. It's from the devil. It's a bait.
Glory to God. It's a bait from the devil. He has just flashed you. Bam! Say, wow, I see flashes of international ministry. You know, like, no.
Don't mind them, they have local church, we have international church. Glory to God.
So it's global church. No longer local church, it's global church. The global church of Christ. It's not that yet, the global church of Christ. No, hallelujah. Amen. See, I pastor people over the radio station. I have over 2 million listeners over the radio station.
Be careful.
Amen. Can we just go ahead? Can we go ahead? We have a whole lot to cover today. So the local church is a Bible school where the scripture, where scriptures are properly explained.
It's because of the fact that some people began to do some other things in the local church. They began to have SMS, no, I mean SMS, short message service. 10 minutes, 2 minutes meeting. 10 minutes, 2 minutes teaching. Just pick one verse and elaborate on it. You understand? No. You see, that is the reason why some other denominations now have to start up a Bible school.
You understand?
Bible school. But you know, primarily, where should be a Bible school is the local church.
We will go through scriptures together. We are opening it. We are looking at it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Say the local church.
The local church is the Bible school.
Amen. So, as we said, as it were, we said those that can be found in the local church, or we saw those that can be found in the local church. That was on Sunday, right? Sorry. We saw those that can be found in the local church. Saw them. And the emphasis is on what? Getting better.
Was that the emphasis? Getting better. And the getting better will be where? Our conduct. Right? Right? The emphasis is on getting better. On our conduct, not our nature. That said, let's look at how Paul taught concerning the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see something. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going into some real stuff now. Some real stuff. And I need you to pay attention. Romans 12, 28. Romans 12, 28. He said, and God has appointed this in the church. Now, let's go on. First Corinthians. Oh, dear. I was looking at First Corinthians.
Wow. It's from 1 Corinthians. So sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Now, from verse 12, Paul began to talk about the body of Christ. Right? Then I talk about the body. And remember, I told us, is it in this section? No, during pneumaticals, that don't picture the body as what? The physical human body. Right? I said, don't picture it as when Paul began to talk about the body. Okay, it's in this section. When we're talking about the church, the local church, and me. Now, don't picture it as your normal head, shoulder. No. Hallelujah. Yeah? Aha. Glory to God. Amen. So, but he says, God has appointed this in the church. Now, before that, from verses 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ. Now, when he says you are the body of Christ, he's not talking about everybody. Wants. You are the body of Christ. Remember, he's writing to the church. You understand? In Corinth. So, collectively, he calls us the body of Christ. Now, look at where we now have our own place. He doesn't say, and where? And members individually. Do you understand that? And members in the church. He says, and God has appointed this in the church. So now he now calls that body the church. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Now when he talks about the body, will he be referring to the local church or the body of Christ? That is the church of Christ together in the person of Christ. What did I just do? Okay. When he says the church here, is he referring to the local church or the person of Christ? We said this in the pneumatic, so I'm surprised. Are you following? Okay. I said that to pastors. Pneumatic, we didn't get to ministries, right? Right? I said that to pastors. Okay. Here he's referring to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. See, I said this in the church. He said, first, apostles. He says, second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gift of healing. Health, administration, varieties of tongues. Now, I want you to, you have to be very, very, very cautious here. Now, when he said he has set it in the church, listen, he was referring to the body of Christ, right? But, in that body of Christ, it's these people will be found in the local church also. Hallelujah. But he makes the emphasis on the body, though he was writing to the local church. So meaning I can still find this set of people or this ministry in the local church. Are you following that? Amen. But let's look at what Paul says there. He says he has appointed this in the church. He says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, the gift of healings, administration of varieties of tongues. Now I want you to pause a little and look at this physical. When you say first, which is proton, apostles, proton apostelos, doulos prophecies,
and you know, like that, like that. Now when he makes reference to it like this, he's not using, remember when we spoke about walking in salvation, I'm referring you back to teachings. So as I'm referring you back to teachings, if you are listening to it, what I expect you to do is to go back to those teachings and do what? And listen to them all over again. Contextual reading or contextual listening. Amen. So we said, when you use the word proton, it's not used for number or first, second, in terms of hierarchy. Was that what we said? Can you remember? When you use the word proton first, it's not used in scripture. When that word proton is used, it's not used for first as regards number one, number two. This is the hierarchy. No. It's going to do with what? Hierarchy. Hallelujah. So I want you to set it that. So he's not trying to say the apostles is bigger than the prophet, and the prophet is bigger than the teacher. No. No. Amen. Are you following me? Aha. Years back, that was around 2004, 2005. We used to have this notion then as young guys. So one day we had an argument. We were praying. We were supposed to be praying. I was praying sincerely from my heart. I was praying because we only had, then we were young to school. I came back from school. So I and my two friends, one of which has gone to be with the Lord, which is Jeremiah. We had a prayer section. And usually what we do is that in the morning, when my younger ones go to school, my mom goes to the market, my dad goes to work. So they'll come to my place, or I'll go to their place. Then we'll pray from 9 till they will come back around 3 or 2:30. Do you understand? So we'll just be praying, sometimes studying the scriptures till we come back. So that day we were praying in my place. So we're praying and praying aloud, very loud. You know, I pray very loud. I don't have to pray under my thing, under my breath. I don't have to pray that way. We were praying loud. Loud, loud, loud. Sometimes we'll pray or we'll continue on the floor. You know what I mean? If they're exhausted, we'll just lie down. And then you stand up again, God, to pray. So we're praying. We were praying concerning and speaking words concerning days like this. So we're talking about the army of the Lord and praying. You know, we're praying that we are relevant to ministry. Then one of us, better to them, said, "Oh, in the army of the Lord, I'm a general like that. Oh, glory to God, I'm a general like that. I don't know. Me, I will be where I was to pray. You know, I just said to myself." You know, while we're praying, I say, "Oh, I'm in the army of the Lord in the last days. Oh, I'm in the army. Go to that Baba." And we're praying. So he now heard me say, "I'm in the army of the Lord." He now said, "He is the general in the army." Then the other brother, Jeremiah, when he heard, Tunde said, "He's the general in the army. Yes, I'm a captain in the army." I'm a captain in the army. And, you know, we just kept tonguing. When we're done praying, you know, I didn't even know that there was a context between both of them. I didn't know until the prayer. So when we don't pray, I'm going, you know, we usually do full and seeing home. You know what that means. I will walk the person that stays far to his house. So the next person stays closer to me. So we will walk that person to his house. That one will now walk also the second person's place. Then we'll now start and say, "Okay, now let's depart." 1, 2, go, everyone just on. So we do those kind of things. So as we were going, they now started up this conversation. Well, I was like, "Apostle, or we could call him Apostle, why would you say you're a general? I'm a captain, so you're under me." And I'm like, "Oh." And they said, "No, don't you know that general is bigger than a captain?" They never let the military like it. So for Tunde to shut Jeremiah, I'm not saying, "No, you know, if you go to scriptures, it's the Lord that is the captain of his army. You know, that position is taken. So for me, I'm a general." Glory to God. You know, things like that. You know, most times, and the reason why we gave him apostle, because you know, we were looking for, they were dashing into positions. So they dash me reverend, the one that teaches all the scripture, reverend. You know, he that wants to be the greatest, those of us are apostle.
I'm humble. The apostle. We also did have, we've had a fight as regards who is greater.
So he said, so when I looked at Jeremiah, what are we going to give Jeremiah? He was always speaking in tongues and giving prophecy. It's a prophet. If you watch, that's where we go by the prophet Jeremiah. We now had prophet Jeremiah. You know you.
I one day now had a crusade. Now said, my name is Apostle Jeremiah. Today in this crusade, openings. Teaching, you know, say we are open to the book of Jeremiah. Oh, glory to God. I miss that brother so much. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So let's continue. So it has got nothing to do with hierarchy. Who is greater, who is not greater? No. Amen. He says he has set this in the church.
So, you want talking about who is greater there? So when he calls the prophet, apostles, prophet, teachers, he makes you see that in the body there is ministry.
Makes you see ministry in the body. You understand? You have ministry in the body. Remember, for pastors, I said there are some things I'm going to do. What?
Right? So that you understand and fill up some gaps. Earlier on in verses, that first thing, 1 Corinthians, earlier on in verses 4, let's look at verses 4, 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 4, you need to listen to the message on pneumaticals. Very important. Okay, verses 12, chapter 12, verses 4, he said, okay, I'll start with verse 3. He said, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. To see this, say there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, it says there are differences in ministries, but it's the same Lord. Do you understand me? Say there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, when you say there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, when we use that word diversities, it means
different of the same. Do you understand me? There are different gifts in the same body. Do you understand me? In the same Spirit. Do you understand me?
Hallelujah.
So is I explained it in the way pneumatic also be in the charisma, which is the charisma is in the Spirit. Right? Whatever I said, in the charisma, you now have what? The gifts. You now have charisma, say the charisma.
Meaning, you have in the Holy Ghost or in the Spirit of God, you have the differences of gifts.
I follow you.
Now, it makes you see that Paul is teaching and makes you see the fact that you have ministries, you have gifts, ministries, and operations of the Spirit. Verse 7 and says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's the word, the giving of the Spirit.
The manifestation, the word, the giving of the Spirit. That word manifestation, the word phanerosis. It means to make naked. I was said during that teaching that at what point was the Holy Ghost made naked to us in the new birth? When it means to make naked, it means to be given. Do you understand me? To make visible.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So he said the manifestation of this is, says, given to each one for the profit of all. So let's move ahead. So we said you should have in your at the back of your mind the word the profit of all. Right? So in talking about the manifestation of the Spirit, it makes you see that there are differences in the diversity of gifts.
there are differences in ministries and the operation of the Spirit, right? Then verses 8, he now goes down to now start mentioning the gift of the Spirit. He mentions the 9th gift of the Spirit. Remember when you were talking about the gift of the Spirit, he says they are all of one. Hallelujah. We'll get to look at this again next week as we begin to look at the Holy Ghost meetings. You know, we'll start off that teaching from next week Sunday. Holy Ghost meetings. So you begin to see, I will still highlight these things again to us. So now we'll see that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So he says, he mentions the nine gift of the Spirit. And he says they will be found where? In the Spirit. Look at verses 11. He said, but one and same Spirit. He said, work all these. He said, distributing to each one to each one as he wills. I want you to look at that critical. He said, one and same Spirit. He said, works all this. Now, that word works is the same word used for operations in verse 6. Are you following that? So, the operation of the Spirit. Are you following me? Now, that's what operational activities. The activities of the Spirit is working the gift in all the bodies. Are you following me? All the gifts in all the bodies is the operation of the Spirit. Are you following that? So that means what? Now, when I say there are differences of activities, differences of operation, he's talking about what? The workings of all the gifts in all the bodies. That means every believer has the gift of the Spirit in full. That's what he's trying to tell you. Are you following this? So all the gifts is worked in all the body. So every believer should function in the 9 gifts. I said, no, my own gift is. Somebody told me one time, he said, my own gift is interpretation of dreams. Wonderful gift. Amen. So my own gift is singing. Is it of the Holy Ghost or where? I don't know. But these are the 9. And that is the work of the Spirit. I follow you. This is the operation of the Spirit. He works the whole 9 in all the members. So where would the gift be found? In the Spirit, right? Right? And where is the Spirit? In the believer. Are you following that? Are you following that? So all the gift will be in the Spirit, will be in the believer. So can we say all the gift will be in the believer? Yes. So Paul makes us see this. Now, listen up. Now Paul has shown us the gift, right? The abundance of gift and the operation of the Spirit. Right? Now, he now begins to close in on talking about the ministries. Now, for him to teach about the ministry, he now began to talk about the body. I need to understand that. He now begins to talk about the body. Now, remember the set of people he was talking to in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Babes. Right? So he called them carnal. So, remember, because of what, or because of their perception, because of that they were babes in their conduct, what did he now do? He will now employ what? I mean, let me see who can remember. He will now employ what? Physical body. Okay, I call it something. He will use what? He will use illustrations. Are you hearing me? Use illustrations to now explain spiritual things to them. So that is why when now wants to talk to them about how they should fellowship together, he will bring in what? He will also bring in the bread. Do you understand? He will bring in bread just to do what? Just like the children of Israel, because of their own belief and the way they walked. Are you following me? Because of their own belief, Moses will still tell them the same thing, but he will prefigure it. Are you following that? So, Paul is now talking to them about ministries. He now brings in the body. And showed them that, he now told them that we are all members of what? We are all members of the body individually. Do you understand? Then he said, God has now set in the body apostles, prophets, teachers. Do you understand? He now said, after that, now, look at that verses 28 very well.
Now when he now puts the word after that,
when he uses the word after that, that is the word epitia in the Greek. Epitia.
E-P-I-T-I-A. Epitia.
Now that word epitia is used to show difference.
That word epitia
is used to show difference between two things. So that means the difference here is not talking about the hierarchy here is not talking about the the apostles, prophets and teachers, but actually when he now goes on to now talk about miracles, gifts of healing, health, administration, varieties of tongues. So what has Paul done for us? I want you to look at remember I told us we're entering the risk with some hard things some things to chew, right? So if you have not been following me, this is the time to pay attention to your Bible and listen well. Now he says, after that, miracles, then gift of healing, health, administration, varieties of tongues. What has Paul done for you? Paul has just done a divider. What has he divided? Epitia. That epitia is to divide the apostles, prophets, teachers from the miracles. Listen, miracles, gift of healing, health, administration, varieties of tongues. Are you seeing that? That's what he has done. That's why I say after that, he shows hierarchy. After that, shows difference. He shows hierarchy. Meaning, the apostles, prophets, and teachers is a section or just like a divider between two lines. So you have the apostles, prophets, and teachers here, and you have the others here. Are you following that? So now, what does he speak? Now, what is he saying? He now mentions after that miracles, gift of healings, health. What is he saying? He has just shown you in verses 4 where we read to verses 10 that you have part of the gift, you have miracles, you have varieties of tongues, you have interpretations of tongues. Do you have it? Yes. So, and he shows you that the work of the Spirit is that he works all these gifts in all the members. So, what Paul has just done for you now is to make you see that in the local church, or in the body of Christ, you have those who are saddled with the responsibility of ministry and those who are being led. Are you following that? Or should I come over it again? Okay. Are you with your Bibles? Look at your Bibles again. Where do you find miracles, gift of healings, varieties of tongues, helps and administrations before now? You find it from verses what? From verses 5. Right? Right? Are you following me? Okay, from verses 5. It says there are different, let's just read from verses 8. It says the one is given the word of wisdom. Remember we said when you hear to one, it does not mean to one person. You understand? He's talking about the faculty. So the word to one will mean to all. That one to one in the Greek means true one, meaning you now become a faculty of this gift. Are you following me? True one. It's not actually to one, like I throw it to this person, believe or I just take it. No. It says that word to in the Greek means true. So this thing will come from. Do you understand me? Now he says, now let me read that true one. Let's go. True one is given the word of wisdom. Through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of Spirit. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Are you following me? So can you now see? Now, when I spoke, just get to interpretation of tongues, look at verse 11. And I say, but one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, not as he wills, it's not as you will, but it's not as he wills, rather, but as you will.
Are you following me? As he will, do not be as the Holy Ghost will, but as you will. Meaning, it now involves my, it has to do with my involvement in what? Or in my involvement in giving expression to this gift. Are you following me? Glory to God. We saw that during pneumaticals. So if you get that message, get that message. Amen. So it says, now it says the Holy Ghost works all these gifts. Listen, it's a one ascended spirit. It says works all these things, works all these gifts in all the bodies. Do you understand? So this gift is worked where in every member of Christ. Are you following me? Every member of the body. Are you following me? So all these gifts will be found where in all the members of the body. Right? Have we sorted that out? So where would I find the gift of miracle? Every believer. Every believer can flow. Are you following me? Can every believer speak in tongues? Yes. Can every believer interpret? Yes. Yes. Can we all prophesy? Yes. Can we all put your hand again there? Can we all have a word of wisdom? Yes. A word of knowledge? Yes. Everyone? Yes. Are you hearing me? So that means when Paul will use it this again, gift of miracles and everything, he will be using it to represent every believer, right? Right? Because it will be read in all the members. Are you following me? So my hand gets to verse 28. It now says, apostles. God has set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers. In no hierarchy. It now says, after that. Now, when it says they are set in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, he shows you ministry. Are you following me? He shows you ministry. How did he discuss ministry? He has told you in verses 4, 5, 6 that he will be discussing what? Gifts, operations, ministry. Right? Now, he shows you ministry. And that calls the ministry, that calls apostles, prophets, teachers. Right? He now says, after that, now he wants you to see a distinction in the body. Which we'll get to Ephesians now to explain better. Now, in order to see that in the point there is distinction, he doesn't say after that, he now mentions the miracles, tongues, interpretation, helps, and government. He now puts your mind to the fact that he now makes you see that after the ministry gift, you will have what? The ability. Remember, I told you before God said that he will represent the miracles. And he will use the nine gifts to represent what? The members, right? So in that basis, like the body, you have the members and you have those who have the what? The ministry gift. What Paul is trying to make you see is the fact that the ministry gift will not be worked in all the bodies. Are you following me?
Oh, yes, sir.
Amen. Okay. The ministry gift will not be in all the members. It will be in the body, but not everyone would have the ministry gift. So that is the reason why he used the word epitia, to show that there is a difference. Let's get to Ephesians 4. We'll get to understand that in Ephesians 4. Quickly. So, as you get to Ephesians 4, what Paul quickly makes you see is the fact that in the body, which we will have in the local church, which will now be seen in the local church, is that they will have the leadership and they will have those who are being led. That is what Paul is making you see. Are you following me? Paul is making you see that in the local church, you will have the leadership and have those who are in there. That's really for the tier to show that there's a difference. It's not all that is what a pastor. It's not all that is a prophet. Are you following me?
We'll get to see that now.
Okay, let's quickly get there. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 4, from verse 4. Quickly, let's get to Ephesians for everybody. To follow me now. From verse 4. Is it there is one body? The same thing too. On that one verse 4, I say, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all holiness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. Say, there is one body. Do you see that? He's about to talk about ministry, and he now brings in what? Body. Do you understand? He wants to make you see again that there will be what? He wants to make you see that dividing line. Are you following that? He said, there is one body and one Spirit. As you were called in one hope of your calling. It makes you see that we have one faith, one Lord rather, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Is this identification? Yes. It makes you see identification, right? Verse 7. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's deeds. You see, he has made you see that there's one body. Now tells you that in that one body we will have this in this thing in union, right? But I'm making you see that but grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Are you following that? Grace is the measure of Christ's gift. He now says, therefore he says, he who ascended on high, he left captivity. When ascended on high, he left captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Now, before we go further, let's look at that verse 7. Very well. He wants to talk about ministry, and he says, it mentions what? Measure. He said there is grace given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let's take that word, measure. That's the word in the Greek, metron. Metron. M-E-T-R-O-N. Metron. It refers to a portion or a fraction of a whole. A portion or a fraction of a whole. Are you following me? Now, he's not saying the gift of the Spirit is in measures. No. He is about to talk about what? Ministry gift in verse 11. In verse 11, now begins to tell apostles, prophets. Do you understand? He's about to talk about ministry gift, and he uses the word measure. A portion. A small fraction of a whole. Do you understand? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the measure there, the metron there, will imply it will not be in all the members of the body. You see that? When he says, a fraction, it means that this gift will not be found in all the members of the body. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And this is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 28. God has set in the church. Now, he now uses the word epitia. Do you understand me? So now show me that dividing line between the leadership. And what? The leadership will now be the ministry gift and what? The gift which will be in all the members. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when it now says according to the measure of Christ's gift, that word gift there is the Greek word dorea. Dorea. D-O-R-E-A. It talks about, when that word dorea is, it talks about how the gift was given. And how was he giving you a measure? Are you following me? Measure. So, as it were, let's get back to that 1 Corinthians 2 of it. It has said, God has set. We'll get back to this Ephesians now. But let's look at that 1 Corinthians 2. It says, God has set in the church. So, that God has set, that word set up is the word titanium. in the Greek. And the way it is used here in context, it means that God has put in place, God has organized in the church. He has put this in place in the church. He has organized this in the church.
I am it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So that means that the leadership of the local church is God's work. Is God's work. And that is what he's saying here in Ephesians 2. That's what he's saying in Ephesians. He says he calls it the measure of Christ's deeds. Are you in Ephesians? Glory to God. Glory to God. Measure of Christ's gifts. Then in verse 8, he now says, of that Ephesians, so he says, wherefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now when he says, in that verse 8, he says, when he ascended on high, when he talks about when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, he was speaking about the resurrection. When he ascended on high, remember, the on high will not be in the sky, right? The on high will be what? In the middle.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. Father Dixon. So when he talks about when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Now, when the on high will be in the believer, right? So he was talking about the resurrection here. Yeah. And when he quotes this verse, he was quoting from Psalm 68. As an intelligent student, when you have references in scripture, what should you do? You go to the reference. Let's have to study. So, Psalm 68. So, let's go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 18. Put your hands in Ephesians 4 and go to Psalm 68, verse 18. On some of verse 7, they say, the chariot of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as a sinner in the holy place. What is he talking about?
He's talking about the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the same word that Jesus used for the chief priest. That you see when you see the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In the cloud of glory. So that's what he's talking about here also. The chariot of in the chariot of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands, meaning uncountable. Glory to God. Say the Lord is among them. Now that word among, I've told us that it means what? In, right? In. The Lord is among them. It implies the Lord is in them. It's talking about the indwelling. Hallelujah. Lord is in them, as in sinner in the holy place. Verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivities captive. You have received gifts amongst men. Now take note of how the psalmist put it. Say you have received gifts amongst men. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And that's why Paul will write and say the ministry gift will be found in the body. Do you understand? In his body. Are you following that? He says you have received gifts amongst men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefit. The Lord our salvation. Selah. What Paul is making you see here is telling you that whatever thing I'm writing here, I'm doing an explanation for what? Psalm 68. I'm explaining David. Do you now see that the epistles are explanations of the Old Testament David? So, what Paul is making you see that I'm doing an explanation of what David has written. I'm not writing abstract. I am doing an explanation of David's writings. And it makes us see that what David was writing about. was concerning the ministry gift in the resurrection. Amen. 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 Are you following me? Glory to God. So, for those of us who are around for GPLR, remember during GPLR last year, I told us that when it says concerning himself, it will have other topics. Did you remember that? That you have subtopics in the main topic, right? And that topic will come from what? Those teachings will come from what? The resurrection. This is part of it. So, Paul, as if David will teach concerning what? Ministry gifts, that it will proceed from the resurrection. Are you understanding that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. So, look at what he says in Psalm 68. I want you to look at it closely. Closely. So, when Paul writes and says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, and he gave gifts to men. Will be Paul's explanation of what David has said, that he received it for men. So he received it for men. Hallelujah. Are you following that? He received it for men. So that's what Paul will call, he gave it to men. But he did receive it for himself, he received it for men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he now gets to verse 19 of Psalm 68, now said, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. What is that benefit? Who daily loads us with benefits? What will he be talking about? He will be referring, the benefit will be referring to ministry gifts. Because that was what Paul discussed immediately after here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what Paul now makes us see, what David was writing about was referring to ministry. Please, I keep that back for a reason. Now, what? I know why I said it, but I know what I'm saying. That was too quick of a conclusion. What I said was too quick of a conclusion, so I'd like to keep back so I can explain to get there. Now, what David was writing about was concerning ministry. Are you following me? David was writing about concerning ministry. So Paul shows us that this ministry will be found in men. That's why he said he gave it to men. That will be found in men who occupy the position of leadership in the local church. And he now calls, listen, he now calls it. Everybody, he now calls it gift. Just like this. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go over a few things as we continue. We said that the leadership in the local church is God set up, right? It's God that set it up. It's God that set it up. Let's go down to the Ephesians 4. It's God that set it up. So the apostles, prophets, teachers, from 1 Corinthians, will be leaders in the local church. Will be men, first of all. As a ministry, it will be found in the body. Right? As a ministry, it will be found in the body. In the local church, it will be found in men, and it will be called gift to the local church. So this will be called leaders in the local church. Leaders in the local church. Look at that First Corinthians, Ephesians 4. That was what I was asking for. Ephesians 4. Ephesians, are you there? Look at verse 11 into 12. You see, just read it from verse 8. So you see that explanation in loads of benefits that Psalms that David spoke about. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Therefore it says, when he has sent up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift to men. Now he who has sent, if he is given an explanation of verse 8, he who has sent. Now this, he has sent rather. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower part of the earth. Meaning he's telling you the resurrection will come from his death. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. He who descended is also he who ascended far above all the heaven, that he might fill all things. He himself gave some to be apostles. He loads us with benefits. Are you getting that? He loads us with benefits. Glory to God. He said he gave some to be apostles. He says some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Hope you're following me. Some pastors, teachers. Will this be similar to what we find in 1 Corinthians 12:28? Yes. This is that. Hallelujah. So he gave some prophets, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, for the equipping of the saints. Okay, just say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ. Have a whole lot to look at here. Have a whole lot to look at here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, when using the word perfecting, equipping, is the Greek word katatismos. Katatismos. Perfecting. It means to equip, to make ready for the perfecting of the saints. You don't say for the work of the ministry. Now, listen. When he uses the word for the perfecting of the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ, he's not telling you that this ministry gifts. He's not telling you three different things, the same thing. Are you hearing me? The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry is the edifying of the body of Christ. Are you hearing me? The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry is the edifying of the body of Christ. Are you following me? So it's not different things. So he said he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. Can we round it up to say he gave the leadership of the local church? Yes, right? Why? He said for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of, for the perfection of the church, for the work of the ministry, that is the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ he was referring to here, will it now be the epitia after that in 1 Corinthians 12:28? Yes. Are you following that? Are you following that?
You are
sleeping.
You are not
allowed. Okay. Which
part is this? Pastor. Take the check. Come to your pastor.
Are you following, sir?
Yes. He said everything. Yes, he said. Take the pastor.
Have a pass. No, just sit near him. Just sit near him. Just like Jesus telling
Mary, I listen.
Son, mother, you know there is son. Okay, I will do the explanations again. Now, he says, when he said, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, he's not telling you the pastors, prophets, he's not telling the prophets, pastors, evangelists, I did that before. I mean, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles. It's not telling you that their work is to perfect the saints for work of ministry and then of. No, it's not telling you three different things. It's telling you one thing. Their work is what? The reason for the ministry gifts is what? The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You understand me? Now, what is that? That is that word and is the word car. That is. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Sorry, I use the word and. There's actually four. There's the word eis. EIS.
Hallelujah. EIS means that is. Hallelujah. That is for the defining of the body of Christ.
So the first four verses 12 is the word pros. That meaning when you say the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, you don't say four, which is pros, which we said last week is what in view of. So the ministry gift is in view of what they are defined of the body of Christ. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's continue. So that word edifying is the word oikodome.
Oikodome. O-I-K-E-O.
Am I spelling it right? O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. Oikodome. Or D-O-M-A-Y. Oikodome. That word is used for a building or to build, to make like an edifice. To make like an edifice. I'm going to be a bit fast, but I've also run this section by now. I'm going to be a bit fast. To make like an edifice. You'll find it in Matthew 24:1. Matthew 24:1. Mark 13:1-2. Romans 14:19. Romans 15:2, Romans 13:9, sorry, Romans 3:9, not 13:9, Romans 3:9. What is it about Romans? Sorry, cancel that Romans 3:9. It's 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 14:3. 1 Corinthians 14:5. 1 Corinthians 14:12. 1 Corinthians 14:26. 2 Corinthians 5:1, 2 Corinthians 10:8, 2 Corinthians 12:9, 2 Corinthians 13:10, Ephesians 2:21, Ephesians 4:16, Ephesians 4:29. Amen. So it looks as if you read it very well, it looks as if I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Now, it looks as if though the church of Christ is built, right? We said that, right? God still left men to continue the building.
So intelligently, you put what I've been saying all these things together. So that's all I'm saying.
So, can we now paraphrase that to be, the church of Christ is built in the church, right? God left men to continue the building, this time conduct. Right? Hallelujah. And this will be via teaching of the word. And that's what we'll see shortly
in today's teaching class. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you're following.
So when he says back to Ephesians 4, so he says for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, right? For the equipping of the saints, which is the work of for the work of the ministry, says for the building of the body of Christ. Would that be correct? Eh? For the building up of the body of Christ. Now says, see, we all come to the unity of faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the statues of the fullness of Christ. Let's look at this a bit. When he said, we all come to the unity of faith. That word unity of faith is not a height. You know, people say, very soon the church will be united. We are waiting for that unity of faith. No. Do you all come to the unity of faith will not be a height. No. No. Rather, what he calls the unity of faith is the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at it very well. He said, you have come to the unity of faith and It's not two different things. That is the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that he shows you something, he brings in measure again. I'm not going to go here today, but I'll just give you a glimpse. He talks about spiritual growth. And for pastors, we discuss that you grow into responsibility in the local church, right? So that's what he's talking about. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, very key. You must take note of this. Very key. He says, so the unity of faith is not what we will, or, you know, what people look at it as unity of faith. The church, the whole church of God will not be united. We will not know. No. It's actually in teaching. Do you understand me? Coming to the knowledge of Christ from the written word taught. Are you hearing me? You say the church of Christ is not united. You are not reading scriptures well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It talks about the teaching of the message, teaching of the word. It's not a height. Glory to God. So, with that unity of faith, now point us back to 1 Timothy. I want you to do a cross-reference in your Bible. You can look at that unity of faith in your Bible. I'm teaching you how to do cross-reference today. Look at that unity of faith, and so you can put a cross-reference to 1 Timothy 2, verses 4. Who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the Son of God? Do you understand that? Are you saying that? So, it's not a height, but do you understand? Are you following that? So it's a cross reference in your Bible. Amen. Amen. So will it be the same? It will, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same way too, if you go to that verse 11 of Ephesians 4, where it means this said at the beginning, you can cross reference it to Psalm 68 verse 19. It rolls off its benefits. Jonathan, that will be the benefit. So, it's about the knowledge of the Son of God. So, the unity of faith is teaching, is in the teaching of the scriptures. Let's move ahead. Verse 14. That said, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the tricky of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Did you see that? He said there will be no more children. That shows that in view of the ministry gift is for us to grow spiritually. Can you see that? It tells you, you can also cross-reference verses, and give me a whole lot of cross-reference. You can cross-reference verses 13. Eh? So, 1 Timothy 3:16, and then 14, so the same 1 Timothy 3:16. You know why you cross-reference it that way? Because we've seen from 2 Timothy, we've seen from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 that the scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching. And we saw that the end point of teaching in that same verse 16 is what? Paideia and diakosune, spiritual growth. And now, listen, remember who he was referring to, who Paul was referring to was Timothy, who is a pastor, who is part of the ministry gift. Jonathan, which is part of the ministry gift? Are you following me? He was referring to the pastor. Now, the work of the pastor is to teach, right? Now, he will teach. And in the teaching of the word, in verse 16, you will find spiritual growth. And that is what Paul has also shown you from Ephesians 4, from verse 11 into 14, where we are reading right now. He calls the ministry gift. He now tells you their work is the perfecting of itself for the work of the ministry to grow up unto the unity of faith. That is the knowledge of the Son of God. That means what they will do will be what? The teaching of the scriptures. And what will it bring? He said, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro. He now tells you, in view of it, is what? Spiritual growth. Are you following me? So, we should no longer be children, we will be the word nephews. We read the word in Ephesians, we should no longer be children. Meaning it's talking about spiritual growth. Our conduct being what? Shaped. Alright, with what? The reality of our spirit. Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So they said we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. So we say spiritual growth is in view. That word tossed is the word clodomizomai. Clodomizomai. Kludomizomai. That is the word for tossed. Kludomizomai. It's from the word clodon. Not clodon. 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 Because that word clodon. Now, when you use the word clodon in the Greek, it's used for a wave, a surge, a raging of water. That's the word clodon.
I hear you. Kludon.
It's used for a wave. Used for a region of water, a wave, a region of water, a wave. We find it in Luke 8:24, James 1:6. Look at that, James 1:6. James 1:6. James 1:6. It says, "But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." So, it's used to show what is unstable. Unstable. Tossed by the wind. Unstable. Unstable. Back to Ephesians 4. So, it says, be no more children. Tossed. That is, be unstable. So, what causes the instability? Let's go down. Ephesians. Back to Ephesians 4. It says that we should be no longer children. In Ephesians, we explained Ephesians last week. It says tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That word doctrine is the Greek word didaskalia. Didaskalia in the Greek means explanation, teaching. So it talks about, remember how we started concerning teachings, right? The teaching must be centered on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, be no more children tossed around and carried about by every wind of explanations of scriptures, right? By the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So Paul makes us see that a believer is not stable when he hears different explanations of scriptures. You will not be stable. Is a being of what you talk to us and carried about by every wind of doctrine, every wind of explanation. Every wind of explanation. Every wind of explanation. You know what I mean by every wind of explanation? I mean every wind of explanation. Every wind of explanation. You see, there's something I told somebody one time. Though I sounded not too nice, but that is actually the truth. That's actually true. They say, why did you attend your local church? I said, because I was born into the church. I was born. It's my family church. And you are hearing different things. They will invite 10 speakers. They will teach them different things. The calabash in your hand. Vision 2020. It has the thought of Vision 2030 now. I mean, 2050. Hallelujah. Because of corruption, that's changed. That has added 30 more years. Amen. Because you have different teachings. You are the Elijah of your time. You are the Jacob of your time. You are the Moses of your day.
So you don't know you are the Paul of these years.
Different teachings. So what is in your hand? What do you have in your hand? The Bible says, and Moses kept it down.
and you turn the staff turned to snake, you don't know what you have in your hand. Until you learn to drop it. Drop what you have in your hand. What is in your pocket and drop it. And see if you do not change. Different streams of teachings. How can you grow? Today you sow seed. Tomorrow you sow anything. You are just sowing. You are a farmer, a real time farmer. Where will you go? Amen. Yeah, I've heard that message before. Have I preached it? No. What do you have in your hand?
Say, I'm Moses, let it go. If you don't let go, there will be no income. Let go. You know, when you clean up the house, that's when you have fresh air. Are you hearing? That is preacher one. Preacher two now come and tells you. Do you know that this your life you are living is not your own? One day you will sleep and you will die. Holiness, if you are not holy, you will go to hell. If you are not holy, hellfire is your own. So you have to be holy. How can I be holy? You must not buy a shoe of 20,000. Your shoe must be 1,500. You must understand that holiness, sister, and your hair like this. Hair is nothing. The picture number three. When I call, when I tell you, yes. Glory to God. Me, I am not a evangelistic preacher. No. No. All your enemies will die. My mandate from God is to kill the killer. Can you just see? Just in one convention, you have made 30 things. How can your life be saved? How can your life be saved? He said, no. He said, there are some things you don't pray in tongues over. There are those things you don't pray in tongues. You know, you need to express your anger for the Lord. Express your anger. Let the Lord see the anger.
Another thing that shows up. I say, you know, you need to cry when you pray. You know, cry will just change God's emotion. Look at Jesus. Jesus wept. You need to cry. You need to cry.
So, you are not confronted with an issue.
I now want to pray.
Yeah, you do not want to pray. You cannot pray.
Oh Lord! Oh Lord! I am not shouting. Oh man, no, 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 no. When you say that, let me express anger. Let us die and fight now. Let us die and fight now. Fight now, fight now, fight now. Let us begin to die now, now, now.
You are spiritual. There are some things you don't. Okay, let me just come to the Lord. Only you alone, everything. You are wonderful. You're a super person.
Glory to God. Can you ask, why will you be stable?
Why will you be stable?
So the issue of when a believer is exposed to different speakers, different teachers, they will be unstable.
Part of the issue with the church at Corinth, part of the issue with the church at Galatia was different speakers. In Corinth, they had a faction over who they listened to. So I say, I'm for Paul! And I'm for Apollos! And I say, ah, me and me? I don't want to be my see walk not by, you know, I'm for the Lord.
No! No! Are you following me? No!
The church in Galatians, he tells them that who has bewitched you? Say you are soon, you know, he told them that they are soon being tossed.
So that means that I'll be unstable when I am not listening to,
or when I'll be unstable when I'm listening to different speakers.
I'll be unstable. Are you following me? I will be unstable. I will be unstable. So the reason for the ministry gift in the local church is to bring stability.
Yeah, are you seeing that? The reason for the ministry gift. We'll look at the ministry gift in the next session. This one we are not in the first session.
Glory to God. The reason for the ministry gift is to bring stability. Did you see that? Stability. Stability. And what will be the undertone in this verse 14? Let me see who is following us. What will be the undertone? What will be the undertone for Ephesians 4:14?
It will be discernment.
Do you understand? It will be discernment of scripture. Undertone. Underneath is discernment. So meaning if I stay to my teacher or to my pastor, if I stay listening to my pastor, I will be able to discern well. Are you hearing me? You'll be able to discern well. Discern scriptures well. That word discern. Let's look at that word discern. Oh. Okay. That will come up in the second session. Okay. But let me just say this. Discernment will deal, or discernment has to do with the ability. Okay, have it here. Has to do with the ability not only to know good from evil, but also to know slightly good from good. Alright. Slightly good. Slightly good from good. Slightly good. Slightly right from right. So discernment deals with being thorough in judging biblical explanations. Being thorough. Being thorough. So, since this is the undertone we can see, can we say spiritual growth will be seen in my discernment? Will be seen in my discernment not to be carried about by every streams of explanation. Will be seen in my discernment. Spiritual growth will be seen in my discernment. See, I can know when somebody is not listening to me, or when you're listening to several people, I will know. Yes, now you just speak up. Yes, sir. Amen. Because what I teach you is what I expect you to go for now. But when you try to know, when you try to know beyond now, if you know what I mean, you try to do exploration, you saw that there will be vacuums in your knowledge. Vacuums in your knowledge. And it will show you no distant time. Are you following me? There are a lot of things I'm going to teach us. Yeah, that I would not teach here because I know where we are. No, teaching comes with patience. Are you hearing me? Teaching comes with patience. Timings. Glory to God. I will not. When somebody is not listening to messages, I will not. Just you conversation, I will know. And I expect pastors to know when your members are not listening to what? Messages. Just with conversation with Buya disciple, you know this one has not been following you, or has not been following what you teach him. You will not. Because your discernment will be sharper. It will be sharper. Not a joke. Amen. Amen. So discernment will be seen. Oh, spiritual growth will be seen in my discernment, not being carried away by different streams of doctrines. Let me round up by saying this. Verse 16 is where I'll round up with. And then we'll continue in another 10 to 20 minutes. This is the next section. Verse 16. It says, but I'll start from verse 14 into 16. Said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Say, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. May grow up. Did you see spiritual growth?
from whom the whole body joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does a share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. He said, for which every the whole body joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies. That word supplies is the Greek word epikoregia. Epikoregia. E-P-I-C-H-O-R-E-G-I-A. E-P-I-C-H-O-R-E-G-I-A. It's from the word epikoregio, which is the verb. The verb. E-P-I-C-H-O-R-E-G-E-O. It implies to provide, to supply, to provide. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. May he who supplies seed, the new king, the old kingdom, because he who ministers seed, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Is the word supply. Is the word supply. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Galatians 3, verse 5. It says, therefore, he who supplies the spirit, the old King James will call he who ministereth, he who ministers, he who provides, according to the New American Standard Version or New American Standard Bible, says he who provides means to provide. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. Colossians 2 verses 19. Colossians 2 verses 19. And not holding fast to the head, from which all the body nourished and knit together by joint and by ligament, grows with increase that is from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's look at that word. You find it also in 2 Peter 1:11. 2 Peter 1:11. He says, for so our entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You find it also in chapter 1, verse 5. He says, for also this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That's the word add. Supply. Add. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, that word implied to supply, to provide, to add up. You do your bit. You do your bit. You contribute. That's the word. You contribute. You find also in Ephesians chapter 4, 16, that's where we read, and also in Philippians 1, 19. That's the noun. Philippians 1, 19. To do your bit, to do your share, to contribute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it implies that spiritual growth will be saved in my contributing, or in contributing my part to the body of Christ, which will narrow down to the local church. Spiritual growth will be saved in contributing my part to the body of Christ. Spiritual growth will be saved in my contribution, in my adding up. To the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll take a break.